Bible reading this morning is from Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 10, and it will be on the screen behind me. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God.
Thanks, Elise. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all on this beautiful, special day in our church. If you haven't met me before, my name is Dilan Jasing. I'm the senior pastor here. It is lovely to welcome you all to our church, especially the family and the friends of the four people who are getting baptized. It is so exciting. I know some people have traveled from overseas to be here, and which is really special for us. Before we start, I'm going to share a little bit from the passage that was just read to us. Before we start, allow me to pray and commit this time to God. So if you don't mind, you can bow your heads and let me pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity where we can read your word. Now, as we spend a little bit of time just meditating, reflecting on it, may you grant your grace for us to understand and also to put your word into practice. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, I'm going to start today with a toilet story. If you don't mind. I'm not sure if you have followed the news this last week. A toilet was auctioned for $12 million. You heard me correctly. A fully functioning toilet. Have you heard of that? Some of you? Yeah? There you go. It's not an ordinary toilet. It was made out of 100 kilos, just over 100 kilos of solid 18 karat gold, right? And it was a sculpture created by this Italian artist called Maurizio Cattelan, and he named it, yes, America. An art exhibition in New York, it was recorded that over 100,000 people lined up to use this toilet. Right, they could use it, just as you use a normal toilet. One commentator said this: "It looks like a toilet, but it also looks nothing like a toilet that you have ever seen. It is this glimmering, hulking, gluttonous mass of gold. You see yourself in it. You see the water in it. You see the movement. It's like a mirror of the most decadent sort imaginable." This is an European artist making a portrait of America. Cattelan, who did this artwork back in 2016, he wanted to tell a story, a satirical, sarcastic, mocking story of consumerism, capitalism, and the disparity of wealth in the United States. Well, that's the story of a toilet, isn't it? Now today, four of our people are going to get baptized. Now, as you will see, after I've spoken, after they've shared their stories, they're going to get dunked in a pool just behind me. Yes, there's a pool just behind me, right? And the water is quite warm because we are gracious to you guys who are getting baptized. We had these big heaters that went in for about 12 hours. We'll send you the bill for the electricity. So they're going to get wet. The water's going to splash. So why? What's the story behind baptism? As Miriam mentioned earlier, it's not something that the Baptist Church invented, right? We can't have the bragging rights of that. It's something that the early church, like the first century church, practiced when somebody became a follower of Jesus. Baptism is not a ritual that makes a person Christian. Baptism does not save a person from hell. Baptism does not wash all our sins away as you go into the water. It doesn't have any supernatural thing that's going to happen as these guys go under the water and come out. They won't come out with a halo or something. When a person is baptized, they're actually telling a story. A story of what happened to them when they believed in Jesus. The story of becoming a follower of Jesus. So this is what Paul, a Christian leader in the first century, wanted people to understand, remember, when he wrote the book of Romans chapter 6, the passage that was read to us this morning. This story has three parts: a death, a burial, and a resurrection. A death, a burial, and a resurrection. First, when someone becomes a Christian, there is a death. As we died with Jesus. We read in the Bible that 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross. Now, he didn't die because he did something wrong. He didn't die because he broke the law. He was like you and me. He was tempted in every way, but he did not break any laws. He did not do anything wrong. So why did he die? He died because he became a substitute. He became a substitute. The Bible says the punishment, the consequences of disobeying God or disregarding God, which is also called sin, is death. And Bible says all of us, regardless of our age, regardless of our ethnicity, we have all sinned. We have all disregarded God and deserved to be punished. And when Jesus died 2,000 years ago on a cross, what he essentially did was he actually died to take the penalty, the punishment for our sin. In other words, he died the death that you and I should have died. Even verse 3 in this passage, you don't have your Bibles perhaps, but it says that we are baptized into his death. Verse 5, we have been united in his death. Verse 8, we died with him. Death, 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 died. It's like he wants to hammer this point, right? He wants to hammer this point. When somebody became a Christian, when they believed in Jesus, there was a death. There was a funeral. In a mysterious, but a real sense, Paul says, when Jesus died, you also died with him. In what sense did we die? Our old nature, which ignored God, which didn't believe in God, which rebelled God, which didn't take God seriously, our self, that old self that sinned, this person died. And when someone is baptized, The first thing that they tell is, when I believed in Jesus, this old self died with Jesus. It is now crucified with Jesus. I stopped living the way I used to live before I believed in Jesus. And secondly, when someone becomes a Christian, when he believes in Jesus, there is a burial. We are buried with Jesus. Now, I remember 15 years ago when my mom passed away. Her body was put in a coffin, a casket, and it was kept back in Sri Lanka. We keep it for 3 days for people in the village, in the town, to come and pay their last respects. Now, until the body was there, we kind of feel, yeah, she's there. She's there, although she's dead. But when the body is placed in the grave, and when it's kind of covered with sand, then everybody leaves. It's kind of, it's over. That's when you feel, yes, she's dead. She's gone. We won't see her again. Burial. It confirms the fact that a person is fully dead. He or she is not going to return. There's this complete separation. Here in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, Paul says, that's what happened to us. We were buried with Jesus through baptism into his death. And as a result, he continues, the body of sin, the body that was under the influence of sin, is done away with, separated. It is completely made powerless. Paul continues, anyone who died has been freed. Freed from sin. What it means is, before we believed in Jesus, our default position was to just ignore God. To do things that doesn't please God. We were kind of insensitive to God and to his ways. Now that we believe in Jesus, we are freed from this old self. There's a separation, complete separation. It has no more power over us. So when people get baptized today, you will see them go fully underwater. You will see them because it'll come up on the screen. There were times that there were a couple of people who didn't fully go under, so I had to dunk them twice. They will go under for a few seconds, as long as they feel like they have to. It is a signal what happened to them when they believed in Jesus. They not only died with Jesus, they're not only crucified, but their old self is now buried. There's a complete separation. It confirms the fact. Their old self is dead. But thirdly, there's a resurrection, isn't it? We were raised with Jesus to a new life. Now, Paul reminds the Christians in Rome, he reminds them, and us as well, that Jesus, who died on a cross, he was buried in a tomb, but he did not stay dead. After 3 days, he came back to life. The tomb that he was laid was empty. They couldn't find him there. Because he was raised back to life by God. So Paul says, we were buried with Jesus through the baptism into his death, in order that, just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory or the power of God, we too may live a new life. If we are united with Christ, we're told we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. If we died with Christ, then we will also live with him. Then Paul means two things here, right? The first thing that he says is, okay, death is not the end if you are a follower of Jesus. One day, those who believe in Jesus will be raised back to life. Not with these sickly, sinful bodies, no. glorious bodies, without any sickness, without any sin, without even death. But a second thing Paul is talking about here is the new life that we have today, those who have believed in Jesus, the new life that we can enjoy now. We let go of the old self. It's buried and it is dead. Now we have a new life given. A completely new creation. Not an add-on. It is brand new. A new life which lives for God and with God. A new life where we are no longer enemies, we are no longer fighting God, but we are friends with God. A new life that we enjoy God's love for eternity. A new life where we are accepted by God as His children. Now, does this mean that Christians won't sin or fall into doing bad things after their baptism? No. Ask any baptized Christian. They will tell you that we will be tempted. We will fall into sin. What it means is we no longer enjoy sin. Sin is disobeying God is not our default position anymore. We don't delight in disobeying God's word. We have now become super sensitive to doing wrong things. And when we have done something wrong, when we have disobeyed God, we don't just stay there. No, we come to God and say sorry and ask forgiveness from God. See, a Christian is someone who is dead and alive at the same time, isn't it? Isn't it? We are dead to sin, but we are alive to God. Isn't that great? The one who goes under the water, he or she doesn't remain underwater, right? He comes out to say, I was dead, but now I'm alive. The old is gone, the new has come. A death, a burial, and a resurrection. This is the story of baptism, friends. This is the journey of being a follower of Jesus or becoming a follower of Jesus. There must be a death. There must be a burial. And there has to be a resurrection into a new life. And as you will hear shortly, Moody, Herreys, Denali, and Noe, they're going to share their story. And you will notice that today is not the day that they're becoming a Christian. No, they have become Christian some time ago. What they're telling today is their story of how they became a follower of Jesus. What happened when they believed in Jesus? Now, for some of you, probably this is not your story. You haven't become a follower of Jesus. You don't believe in Jesus. But let me invite you to consider Jesus. Let me invite you to consider what you heard this morning. Maybe you might want to ask your Christian friend. Maybe you want to ask me or Pastor Phil. I think he's downstairs at the moment, right? You can ask your Christian friend or a pastor. I think there are some books that we are giving away as well. Miriam will talk a little bit more about that later. But that would be the most significant decision that you will ever make of following Jesus, trusting in Jesus.